Hello and welcome to Open All Ours. It's a podcast that we didn't ever want to do, and it's also I'm doing it mindfully and respectfully of that we can talk about Stambouls as a player and how much we loved him, but the people who really loved him were his family, and they're grieving at the moment for their grandfather and father. And all I can say is that we send our condolences, respect and love to them, and thank them for the dad's joy that he gave us as QPR fans, but mindful of what they're going through. And solidarity with them at this sad time. I'm joined with tonight to talk about Stan is Dave Thomas from Kick Up the Oz. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Paul. Hi.
Martin Percival, long-time QPR fan and also part of Retro QPR and the Forever Oz. Hello, Martin.
Hi, Paul.
And we're also joined by Peter Blexley, who, like me, is just a season ticket holder, but a long-time QPR fan, but did the most amazing tribute. And I think the presenter was in tears by the end of it, Peter, on Five Live last week, for anyone who wants to listen to it.
I was very, very fortunate and honoured to be asked onto a podcast. It's called the Brazilian Shirt Podcast, I think it is, which is presented by Dotton Adebayo of the BBC and Tim Vickery, that well-known specialist on South American football, but an all-round footballing guy. They invited me on, and it was a great honour to be able to pay tribute to the King of Loftus-Road.
And that is where we're going to start. Now, I can say that I've seen Stan play. I was in Northern Ireland and I was too young, but, you know, I remember the 80s and the T-shirts and the stories, and because I was kind of the next two generations up. And unbelievable, the love that QPR fans had for him. I mean, I did meet him a couple of times, and I know that there's stories about the gambling and the way he was and the maverickness of him. He was actually quite a beautiful man when you sat down and spoke to him and talked about football. He was not what I thought he would be from what I read. He was actually a really sound, gentle soul. We talked about Jordy Best. We talked about all the people that had gone and were no longer playing, and how the clubs didn't look after players and stuff. And yeah, it was much more than just Stambouls, a QPR player. But Dave, tell us about your first sort of visions of when you realised that you were watching a world-class footballer and legend.
Well, I think we have to go back to the time when Rodney Marsh was sold. I can't really explain to you. Peter will know, Martin will know, but the shock of Rodney Marsh going was complete, really. I think he was such a hero. He'd taken the club to new heights, and Rodney Marsh was, you know, we didn't think that any player could ever match Marsh's achievements. And yet Stan came along, and he was little known, really. I know there's talk that he'd been playing for Carlisle, a bit like Johnny Byrne when we played York, and he stood out a mile. And apparently, yeah. Stan, I wasn't at that game. Quite hard to get back to the Isle of Wight for school the next day for a night game. But apparently, he played for Carlisle and just stood out a mile, really. And funny enough, I've been editing an article by John Armani today who recounts about how he was so thrilled having seen Stan star for Carlisle and receive all this applause and people were really thrilled, even though he was playing for the opposition, really. And he said when he signed for QPR, he was made up. I mean, obviously, it took a little while before you realised what an absolute genius we had signed. And in fact, the fact that not only did it's hard to say in words, really, but words are all I've got. He took on the mantle of Rodney Marsh, which everyone thought was the was an impossible shirt to fill, impossible boots to fill. And yet he did it, and obviously his genius was soon apparent to everybody, even, you know, likes of me. And yeah, that, I mean, what can you say about him? It's just that hasn't been said already. He was a genius, and there's no two ways about it. He was a genius.
Peter, same.
Yeah, I mean, I'm old enough to remember the heartbreak that was caused when we sold Rodney. And I was 11 years old and I cried for a week. And I thought nobody would ever, ever surpass the brilliance of Rodney Marsh. But of course, Stan came and did that. There's a hint of irony in the fact that we sold Rodney Marsh to Man City because, of course, Stan started at Man City and under Malcolm Allison and Joe Mercer didn't get on with that regime and they shipped him off to Crewe, I think it was, before he went to Carlisle. So what irony that we sell Rodney Marsh to Man City and one of their former youngsters comes in and takes Rodney's place and even surpasses his brilliance. Arguably, before people take me to task, I think that battle still rages about who was the most brilliant player. I come down on the side of Stanley, particularly, and for me, of all the wonderful words written and spoken about Stan in the last 8 days, for me, Chris Guy nailed it when he said, very simply, the most loved. And Stan is and always will be the most loved footballer we've ever had at Queen's Park Rangers. And that's been clear from all the outpourings and the wonderful testimonies. And on Wednesday night, when we play West Brom at home, if you've got any spare money, I'd buy shares in Kleenex. And I'm not being facetious here. For us lot, there are going to be bucket loads of tears wept on Wednesday. I might be speaking only for myself, but I'm sure many others, because I cried last weekend. I've welled up during the week since then. And Wednesday is going to just be extremely powerful, emotional, and I'm sure the club and all of us will make it brilliant.
Martin?
So as an 8-year-old in December 1971, Paul, I was given a choice. Go Christmas shopping with mum in Carlisle or go and watch Carlisle versus QPR with my dad. It was only the second match that I went to and I decided to go with my dad and my brother went Christmas shopping with mum. But it worked out quite fortuitously because it was the only the second and the last time I saw Rodney Marsh play for Rangers. And I saw a certain Stan Bowles play for Carlisle. It was only a couple of months after he'd signed for them from Crewe, I think it was, as Peter had said. And Stan scored the goal for Carlisle and he looked good. Rodney got two goals for Rangers and John O'Rourke and Mickey Leach got the other one. So we won 4-1. And then, what was it, 10 months later, he was playing for Rangers. We were living in the north of England at the time. That's how I came to be at Carlisle, of all places, on a cold December day. But we got season tickets then moved south. So I was very lucky. And then I started seeing Stan very regularly from 73-4 onwards. But yeah, my first time I saw him was playing for Carlisle. He scored the goal. He looked a decent player. But by 73-4, obviously, we were in the first division. And I mean, he was just tearing other teams apart. You know, the famous George Best last game on 1st of January 1974, Rangers won 3-0. And I mean, we just annihilated United that day. They weren't at the races. They really weren't. And Stan was a fabulous player. He was a great person. I was lucky enough to meet him on a couple of occasions. He didn't take himself too seriously. He was always happy to have a pint and a chat with the fans. And like most of us, probably, I've been watching a bit of Stan footage in the last week or so. And you just look at the quality of the goals that he scored. He placed the ball so carefully every time. He wasn't a slammer of the ball. He placed the ball well. And he was not a greedy player. You know, the number of times where somebody else, Don Givens, Dave Thomas, whoever it might be, was in a better position. Unlike, for example, Clive Allen, who was a great goal scorer, and we've had many other great goal scorers, who sometimes would be a bit greedy. You could not ever accuse Stan of being a greedy player. If a teammate was in a better position, he would pass the ball to the teammate. And, you know, just an absolutely wonderful footballer, and I'm just glad that I was lucky enough to see so many of his matches.
How many matches how many times did you get down from the other weight, Dave, to see Stan in the flesh? And was it a journey that you just thought, okay, how lucky am I?
Well, just first and foremost, to say that Peter and Martin both said it far better than I did, but then they're a lot more articulate than what I is. But yeah, I mean, obviously, I went to see when I was, like, when I left school, so I was 17, 18. So I was out of the country for many months on end, really. So I didn't really start watching QPR regularly till about, you know, until the 1975-76 season. And before these other two start calling me a glory hunter, you can both, you know what to do. but no, I actually, I gave up a career in the Merchant Navy.
Wow.
Simply just to come to live in London to watch QPR week on, you know, week after week on week, you know. So before then, my trips to Loftus Road, they were much anticipated. I used to perhaps come maybe, I don't know, maybe three or four games a season. And I can tell you this now, they were the highlights. You'd plan them at the beginning of the season. And I still, I mean, nowadays I take it for granted. Sometimes I just take it too much for granted because you think, oh God, another game. Here we go on the road down to Loftus Road. But once upon a time, it was so, it was such a big deal, and the excitement building up to it was unbelievable. And I think because I wasn't there on a regular basis, I think that made it even more, I think I valued it more. And of course, Stan was an integral part of that. I think we knew that we were building something up till 1975-76. I mean, I remember at the start of that season, I had a massive, and I hope you won't be shocked at this, I had a huge bet on QPR. And I probably still got the slip now because, of course, I could never cash it in. But it said, and it was a massive 50p on QPR to win the league title. And I got 40 to 1. And I promise you, 20 quid back in them days would have gone a long way. But we knew something was building. And, of course, Stan was integral to that as well. So my visits were, you know, few and far between. I remember going to Oxford away in the Cup in about 1973. Martin there nodding knowingly, so I probably got that year right.
You did, Dave. One of some of the worst crowd trouble I think ever at a Rangers away game, people have told me.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, but you know, you've got to stand your ground, haven't you? But no, I mean, you know, we knew Stan was a genius. We knew that whole team were heading towards, you know, something special. And to this day, obviously, you know, we still harp on about 75-76, but you can't really explain how exciting it was. We had a team that worked hard for each other, that played fantastic football, but really in that team there were some brilliant footballers, as you say, Jerry Francis, you know, Don Givens, or the likes of those, Phil Parks. But at the very heart of it was Stan, and Stan was the extra bit of magic, if you like, the icon. And again, I've spent this afternoon editing various tributes to Stan, and I promise you, I've had tears rolling down my face all day. Because it's so emotional, and this is a bit of a plug for the next edition, but they're featuring that, and there's some of the finest writing about Stan Bowles, far better than I could ever, you know, come up with. But some of the stuff in it is fantastic, and one in particular by Ben Walker basically says that we've had so many great players over the years who you know, sort of held the torch, you know, Tarabt, Byrne, Bannister, all these players. And yet Stan was really no pun intended, the standard bearer, really. He's at the top. And of that 75, 76, it was Stan Bowles who kind of propelled us towards, you know, that agonising failure in the end, I suppose you have to call it. But to finish second for a club like QPR, but we knew it. We knew we were building something special.
Martin, that's interesting because a lot of people didn't really talk about the European games or his record in Europe, but did you get to see any of them games? Or
I saw all the European homes. Dave was lucky enough, I know, to go to Bratislava. But yes, the European home games were incredibly special nights, Paul, particularly for me, the Slovan Bratislava and Cologne home games. You know, Stan scored, I can't remember, it was two hat-tricks, I think, against Bram Bergen, home and away. You know, he was scoring goals for fun in that UEFA Cup season. It was a Rangers team that were playing European-style football because Dave Sexton was a great student of the likes of Ajax and Borussia Mönchengladbach, Feyenoord, etc., top European teams. You know, and we just played brilliantly against top teams. You know, half of the 1976 Czechoslovak European Championship winning team played for Slovan Bratislava, and we beat them 5-2 after drawing 3-3 away. So, you know, great nights, great players. Yeah. And you know, Stan played brilliantly, but it wasn't just Stan. It was a team game, as Dave said. You had Jerry Francis, Don Masson, Dave Thomas, you know, just a wonderful era. And Stan fitted in brilliantly into that team. And at the risk of repeating myself, what was so great about Stan was that he wasn't greedy. If there was another player, a teammate in a better position, he would pass the ball.
It was weird because when I did meet Stan through the other day, I was talking to him about the, you know, losing on penalties. And, you know, we talked about it. We could have probably won that competition the way that we were playing, you know. And as you said, we weren't really breaking sweat. It wasn't like a different mindset because Dave Sexton already had us playing the similar way. And it's just so sad that we didn't. I don't know. I just wonder if we'd have kept Stan, if we'd have won the league, the trophies, everything else. But you get the feeling that he was just, well, certainly at QPR, it was like a glove, wasn't it, Peter? Stan and QPR just work so well. And I think that's why he still loved and why he loved us so much as well.
The 76-77 European nights at Loftus Road were akin to Oldham, that playoff game. They were four memorable, magical European nights. Can you imagine European football being played by Queen's Park Rangers at Loftus Road? Those nights were astonishing, absolutely brilliant, every single one of them. And Stan was in his pomp. He had never been better. So for younger viewers or listeners, yeah, try and think about that wonderful Furlong goal. And I know our Loftus Road rocked that night against Oldham, but we had four of those in fairly condensed period together at Loftus Road. They were utterly, utterly magical. And while I'm addressing the younger section of your audience, I've tried to, because of course none of my boys saw Stan play, and they've all wished they could. And I've tried to come up with something that's appropriate for them to try and give them some sense of how wonderful Stan was and why he was so adored as a player. And I'll get on to Stan, the character. And I said, imagine having Adele for 7 years. That's about the closest I can get to it for them. And then they kind of, there's a bit of a light bulb moment. And they go, oh, really? And I go, yeah, really.
Yeah, you talk about his character, Peter. I mean, he was the sort of ringmaster of dreams on the pitch, but off the pitch, I know we talk about all the things. He was very much his own person, wasn't he? And the stories just seemed to follow him.
There's so much folklore about Stan, you know, taking a throw-in and asking who won the 320 horse race at Redcar and all those kind of incredible arriving in the changing room 15 minutes before kickoff because he's just legged it out of the bookies. All those things that have gone into folklore. But for me, the most incredible quote which has ever been attributed to Stan, as far as I'm concerned, is he said, it's not a crime to be poor, but it is a crime to look poor. Now, I'm sure some kind of academic would say, well, look at the inconsistencies or look at the contradiction in that. But I know exactly what Stan was talking about. And anybody who ever saw Stan would know that he was always immaculately turned out. The hair, the suit, the tie, the raincoat always looked immaculate, apart from when he was on page three of certain newspapers with a woman virtually naked. And let's face it, how could you not want to be Stan Bowles when you saw that picture in the paper? You know, everybody wanted to be Stan. But anyway, back to that quote, it kind of, bearing in mind we're talking about the mid-70s, in 1973, Stevie Wonder wrote a song, Living for the City. And in that song, there is a line. He's talking about an impoverished family. And and Stevie Wonder's line goes, her clothes are old, but never are they dirty. And so I kind of equate that to what Stan was saying. And I've lived in a household where there was no money with my single mum, you know, when I was a kid. And I kind of get it. And so that phrase of Stan's will stick with me forever. And I equate it to that line of Stevie Wonder.
It's a hell of a quote, though, isn't it? I mean, and I think that's the magical thing. I'm a working class kid from Belfast, but I mean, that's the thing with people like Stan. You could relate to him. He walked streets that you could have been walking. Yeah, he was the genius and the entertainer, and it gave everyone hope. But Dave, did when you went to them European trips, what was it like watching QPR abroad in them days?
It was a bit like Wembley 2014, is it? Hang on, let me just check my notes. Yeah, it was the Zamora moment. It was the promotion under Warnock. It was everything all rolled into one. As Peter said, the evening games when we played European football was Oldham in the playoff finals, and we got to experience that. We never ever believed we'd be watching QPR play in Europe, and those nights were very, very, very special. Now I went to Slovan Bratislava, which was quite a thing back in the 70s. There was a single coach load. We left Loftus Road, I don't know, about 2 or 3 days beforehand. We journeyed overnight. We stayed first in, was it Cologne, I believe? Or it might have been Dusseldorf. Oh, my goodness me, I'm losing it at the minute. Anyway, we stopped in Germany overnight, and then we continued the journey to Vienna, where we stayed again overnight. And then we ventured into Bratislava, which meant going across the Iron Curtain, which at the time was a massive thing. And we were very, very, very daunted by the whole prospect. But actually, when we got there, we found the people very nice, and the hotel and everything was great. But it just felt so, I mean, it's amazing. I would love the Rangers fans, all those that were at Leicester yesterday, experiencing a great, great day out. But I would love that to be Leipzig or somewhere like that, just so that we can, you know, just so they can experience what we experienced. European nights were very, very special. And of course, we held our own. Obviously, we did the typical Rangers thing, which was eventually obviously the first time it was we went out on penalties, having surrendered a 3-0 first leg lead, I believe. That's just typical Rangers. But of course, we had it again a few years later when we went in and became the first team ever, as everyone knows, the fact that we were the first team ever to throw away a 4-goal first leg lead, which hadn't been done in like 30 odd years of European football. But somehow QPR managed to go along and record that. But Trevor, and of course, like I went to Cologne as well. I'm sure. Did you go to Cologne?
No, I'm afraid I didn't. I was only 17 at the time, and I think I was in the police cadets. So
all right.
I thought I'd throw that one in, Dave.
Yeah.
21-year-old like you.
Yeah.
But I'm also right in thinking, were we the first team to lose in a penalty shootout in a competition in Europe?
Don't think so.
I wouldn't have thought so, Paul. No. Because I don't know. I can't actually remember when penalty shootouts sort of came into being, but it was around about that time. So I suppose, I guess you could be right. Maybe, but
that is still QPR,
it doesn't seem very likely.
No, but it's still QPR to go at them on penalties, and you're thinking, and the whole thing of losing to the Wolves Liverpool game being so many days later and everything just transpiring against us. It couldn't just be a straightforward Saturday 3 o'clock. We win or they win. We were put through it. Going back to yourself, Martin, yesterday, I don't know if you were at Leicester yesterday, I don't know.
Unfortunately, I couldn't get there.
Okay, me, myself, Dave and Peter were there. One thing that hit me more than anything was young and old. You know, I know people talk about football clubs and we talk about everyone's got the legends, everyone's got the special players. But I have to be honest with you, there was tears in people's eyes. And that was young and the old, people who'd never seen Stan but knew how much he meant to the club, because everyone's sadly been on the journey that Stan's had with the illness and so forth. But Peter, it was goosebumps and tears, wasn't it? It was incredible.
Yeah, the round of applause on 10 minutes was just wonderful and reverberated around the stadium. It was truly fantastic. One of the real highlights of the day for me in terms of Stan, when we were in that pub that I saw you in after the game and the chant of Stanley, born is the king of Loftus Road. I hadn't heard that for a long time.
That was
reverberating around the pub, it was like, we're going to have some of that on Wednesday. And that was wonderful. But just, again, talking about youngsters that support our team, I was so thrilled last night when we got off the train at St Pancras, having got back to London, sort of 7:30-ish, with a bunch of young Rangers lads. And I was so glad they had yesterday, because we had some glory days. And for those youngsters to stick with our club, to go and watch our team home and away when they've not had very much to cheer about in recent years, was brilliant. That was for the youth department yesterday, and I loved it.
Dave, you were obviously there for the 10 minutes as well, on the 10-minute thing. It was pretty incredible and very, very special, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And just to echo really what Peter said, again, far more articulately than I can manage. But what I found astonishing is I could quite understand if perhaps some of our younger fans who've never seen Stan Bowles. I mean, it was a long time ago, let's face it. Old crusty dear now reminiscing and everything. But somehow his legend, his whatever it is, it's sort of carried through. And so, you know, again, without trying to sound too patronising, the young QPR fans have absolutely amazed me at the respect and everything that they've shown to Stan Bowles. And I guess it's because they get it, because this is, you know, this is our club, this is their club, this is everyone's club. And Stan is plays such a pivotal, is that the right word? I don't know. But he plays such a large part of everything that QPR stands for. And they've bought that, they understand that, and absolute total respect, because the applause yesterday on 10 minutes, as you say, it wasn't just like a load of youngsters fooling around and thinking, who's this for, who's this? They get it. And honestly, I think the club is in, you know, our club is in great hands with the new generations of supporters coming through. So well done to all of you. Fantastic.
And when I was the sort of age of the youngsters that were coming off the train last night, there was one thing that Stan taught me, and that was that it's okay to be imperfect, because yes. Stan was a man with his traits and sometimes his issues and his problems and all of that. But Stan really kind of, as a young, impressionable teenager, where you'd been under pressure at school to get grades, and I hadn't, then went into a policing environment where your uniform and everything had to be perfect, and mine sometimes wasn't. Stan just made me feel that it was okay to not be perfect in everything you do, to be yourself, to have your flaws, and you'll still be loved and adored by those who are important to you. And that all stemmed from Stan.
Yeah, well said. I think, Martin, that's what made him so special. He was just like one of us, wasn't he? And yeah, the flaws and everything else. It didn't matter. It was our Stan, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was just a normal person, you know. And I remember, I think it was around the time of the promotion season under Neil Warnock and the first season back in the Premier League, Dave Robinson, who was working at the club in the community at the time, arranged a number of evenings, which probably many of you guys went to in and around the Shepherd's Bush, Hammersmith area, etc. And you got a chance to just sit and chat with Stan and, you know, reminisce. And he would turn up in the Crown and Scepter and you'd have a chat with him there. He was just such a normal person, you know, and it was wonderful to meet him. Unfortunately, you know, modern day footballers, there are exceptions. You know, we've got some very good young players, but there's, over the years, there's too many where you see them, they've got the headphones on, ignoring the fans, don't want to interact with anybody, won't sign autographs, won't chat. You know, that is the absolute polar opposite of Stan Bowles. Stan would sit and chat to anybody. And he would do it also with visiting supporters and supporters of other teams, because he just liked to be with people, and he was a normal person.
And
it's what made him so lovable.
But you know what, Martin, and Peter and Dave as well, which I remember is, I'll always remember this, is when Tommy Collins used to bring him into the LSA. And it was just the most incredible thing. I don't think you'd have got that at any other club or whatever pub we were in at the time in the LSA, because he moved around quite a bit. Stan would turn up, groomed immaculately with Tommy Collins, and just sit and chew the fat. And I remember sort of saying to him, briefly, very stupidly said, "Do you realise how many people named their children after you?" And he just looked at me and he's like, "Do you think?" I went, "Seriously, the QPR community, there's a lot of Stans because of you. You know, and yeah, he seemed kind of shocked at the same time and very proud. But yeah, it's just, and that's why I liked him, even though I'd never seen him play. I hadn't got the connection with that 76 team and what he'd done before he left to go to Forest and everything else. But Dave's quote, do you remember that poster you did, Dave, many years ago?
Yeah, very well, yeah.
One of the great, that was on my bedroom wall for years, and I love that quote of, you know, the best years of his time at football was at QPR. And I think that is why, and it was so nice as well, in all the memories that were on TV or on the radio, we were mentioned, because normally we're not mentioned. If someone passes sadly, we're not mentioned. It's like they played for this, they did this, very rarely, but it was all about him and his QPR shirt. And to me, I think that's what hurt a lot as well, is just sort of, it's another hero of our childhood gone. And sadly, but one thing we'll never do is let his memory go. I think it is a duty of this podcast and the QPR fan base, which they will do, and it'll be fine. We're going to do several programmes about Stan. This isn't just going to be one programme about Stan Bowles. We will do lots of programmes about Stan Bowles. We will keep his memory, his legendary status going. But Dave, if you could ever have a conversation with Stan Bowles, what would you say to him about what he meant to you at QPR?
Well,
or his family?
Very simply, two words: thank you. And it's a heartfelt thank you. In fact, it's such a heartfelt thank you that, and this is not intended as a plug, but it's what we have on the front cover of the next edition, which we're hoping will be out for West Brom, but I'm really up against it at the minute. So whether it makes it for Wednesday or not, I don't know, but it'll certainly be out for Saturday. And if I could just go back to one thing, Paul. You said about the poster, the exact words and the quote on the poster were that And Stan said himself, my 7 years at QPR were, I've now forgotten what I said now. My 7 years at QPR mean more to me than all my other clubs put together.
Yes, sorry.
And if I can just reveal our editorial, the first line, or one of the first lines, is that when on Saturday night, obviously I knew about it, but when I got back to my car coming home from the Rotherham game, and I turned the radio on, Radio 5, and on their top of the hour on the news, they said this, that QPR, former QPR and England player Stan Bowles has sadly died at the age of 75. Now, Stan played for so many, many clubs. And in many ways, he was a journeyman footballer at those clubs. But at QPR, he wasn't a journeyman footballer. He was special. And the fact is that he fitted QPR, QPR fitted him, and he will forever and only really, truly be associated with QPR amongst all his other clubs. And that's why the news bulletin said QPR and England player Stanley Bowles. And that choked me up no end, I promise you.
Beautifully put there. And Stop picking yourself down.
I'm not as good as the other two guys, but hey ho.
Nor am I, but let's not compare ourselves. But you know what? That poster was amazing. And I'm sorry I didn't quite remember the words, but I'm not as old as you, but my flipping memory's terrible, I tell you. But I loved that picture as well. It was, and there's so many pictures of Stan. To choose that one just works so beautifully. And thank you for doing that poster, Dave. It was an amazing poster. Peter, same question to you, basically. What would you say to Stan and his family if you ever had the chance in the next life or whenever to see him?
I think I would really kind of revert to what I said a bit earlier about how he taught me that it was okay to be imperfect, to have your flaws, and they were all part of being you. And that was a very, very important life lesson, which I've carried with me to this very day. I'd also thank him for all the frustrations. I put a tweet out on Saturday night about how I would dream of trying to be Stan, because I felt I was unworthy of dreaming to be Stan, but I could dream of trying to be Stan. And even that was only a dream, because when I'd go out down a park or playing football with my mates, I used to love the way that Stan ran. He had a beautifully graceful and deceptively quick running style, very economical. And like so much of what Stan did, it was all grace and elegance and beautiful. And I would try and just even imitate that. And I couldn't even try to be like Stan. He was that brilliant and wonderful. So, of course, like everybody else, I would thank him. But for me, he was so much more than the most beautifully, wonderfully gifted footballer I've ever seen.
You can ask for a higher tribute than that, Martin.
I think to echo both Peter and Dave, obviously it would be thank you. But I think what I would probably also do is just tell him a short story, which Dave might be familiar with because I wrote it up for Kick Up the Arse probably about 12 years ago now, when I wrote up the run-in for the 75-76 season from the Leeds home game onwards from that up until away at for the Wolves versus Liverpool game at Molineux in May 76. I remember being in the back of the car coming home terribly disappointed that Liverpool had won 3-1, obviously, and only scored the equalising goal with 15 minutes to go. And my brother and I, you know, I was 12, my brother was 9, I think it was at that time. We were very down, and my dad was with his cousin in the front of the car, and he said, look, cheer up. You know, when I was 8 years old, I saw QPR for the first time in 1926. We had to apply for re-election. I never thought I would even see Rangers play in the First Division. We've almost won the First Division in our fourth year in the First Division in the club's history. And next year, we're going to be in Europe, and it will be enjoyable. So cheer up, lads. And I think that, you know, we're talking about our age now, you know, with the exception of you, Paul, you know, Dave and Peter and I, we're in our 60s. But you go back. Yeah, you can. We're all getting there, unfortunately. But you go back to that generation in the 70s, there were a lot of Rangers fans my dad's age then who'd been following the club since the 1920s, 1930s, when Rangers were a very, very poor club, struggling in the third division south. There was no glory. There was no glory until 1948 when we got promotion to the second division. And for that generation of Rangers fans to see a team with Stan and Jerry and Don Givens and Dave Thomas and all the rest of them, you know, it was so special. And they did deliver, because we saw some great football, some wonderful goals, and a great European season. And it would have been nice if it carried on for longer, but it meant so much to that generation. And fortunately, Dave and Peter and I were old enough to appreciate it as youngsters, but it meant so much for the older generation at that time too. And so it would be telling that story really to Stan and saying thank you.
I couldn't have put it any better. We're going to end the podcast now. And we could go on for hours, and we will do more of these. And we will talk about Stan a lot more. But it's just, as I say, I'm mindful of what his family's gone through, but it's a heartfelt, as we've all said, sadness that we feel. We're not comparing it in any way to the grief of his family. But I would just like to think that in my mind's eye, or when I ever see a QPR shirt, I just think of Stan Bowles. And I think that will be forever in my mind. My mind's eye is just that iconic shirt, the smile, the hair. Look what I just did, lads. I just took one past Alex Stepney, left him on his arse. That is a Stan Bowles that we know and we love. So to his family, if in time you listen to this podcast, I don't suppose you will, because you'll be grieving for a long time. He was a beautiful footballer. He was a beautiful person, and he was so loved and will always be loved to Queen's Park Rangers, as will you be as well. So, Peter, Martin and Dave, thank you for spending time and doing Stan so much better than I could have ever done. And I'm sorry about my input. It hasn't been great, but you guys have been brilliant. And thank you so much for your stories. And yeah, Wednesday's going to be emotional. We'll all be there. And we'll all say our goodbyes to Stan. But one thing I would add to end it as well, I'm so, so pleased that when Stan's illness was starting, sadly, we got to let him know how loved he was. Mm. When he came onto the pitch at Rangers, I could still see that hat and the smile, and he was back. And there'd be so many regrets if we'd never done that. So well done to everyone at QPR who made that happen, because I think that would mean everything to him and his family. So with that in mind, thank you guys very, very much for joining me. And yeah, the podcast no one to do. And thank you, Stanley Bowles, for everything you did for QPR. You'll never, ever, ever be forgotten or replaced. Thank you.